to everyone joining today, and thanks for turning in. I am Isabella, a master's candidate at UNESP Brazil and the virtual intern of the Exercise Physiology and Cardiovascular Health Lab at the University of Urawa Heart Institute. I will be your host for today's special episode dedicated to Women in Science of Beats Research Radio, a YouTube channel and podcast which aims to disseminate science to the community. Our guest today is Dr. Thais Coutinho. Dr. Coutinho received her medical degree from the Universidade Federal do Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 2004, and completed her fellowship training in internal medicine, cardiology, vascular medicine, echocardiograph, and research at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota in 2013. After that, Dr. Coutinho joined the University of Urawa Heart Institute as a clinician scientist. In 2017, she was appointed Chief of the Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation and Chair of the Canadian Women Heart Health Center. She is also an Assistant Professor of Medicine at University of Urawa. Welcome, Dr. Coutinho.
Thank you very much for having me.
First question. Your research program focuses on arterial health with a special emphasis on arterial stiffness and its role in pathogenesis of cardiovascular disease, mainly in women health. Could you tell us which are the main differences between women and men in respect of arteries?
Sure. So I study the health of the arteries and the function of the arteries. And just to start, just a concept that I wanted to clarify is, and when we think of arteries, most of us, we think of tubes. We think of tubes that conduct blood from the heart to the end organs. And of course, that's an important function of the arteries. But the arteries have other functions too that are very important to maintain the efficiency of the cardiovascular system. For example, the arteries pulsate. If the arteries were rigid tubes with no ability to pulsate, the work of the heart will be much, much worse, because the heart will need to deliver all the blood all the way to the end organs in the very first third of the cardiac cycle, which is the ejection phase. So then it will have to beat three times stronger. The blood pressure will need to be three times higher. The whole cardiovascular system will be very inefficient. We probably wouldn't live as long. So that's one function of the arteries, is to have this pulsatile blood flow that allows continuous delivery of blood flow to all of the end organs throughout the cardiovascular cardiac cycle. So that's one. The second function of the arteries, especially the large compliant arteries like the aorta, is to be a buffer of pressure, or a pressure buffer or pressure cushion, is what we say. So imagine this. Imagine the left ventricle beats. And when the left ventricle beats, it creates an enormous pulsatile energy or pulsatile pressure. And if all of that pulsatile energy or pressure was delivered all the way to the end organs, it would be very damaging to the fragile capillaries and arterioles in the end organs. But the aorta is a very elastic artery. It's our elastic reservoir, literally. So when the heart beats and generates this incredible pulsatile pressure, the aorta, being our elastic reservoir, then buffers a good portion of this pulsatile pressure energy, allowing only a fraction of this pulsatility to be delivered to the end organs. And it protects the end organs, and it makes, again, the cardiovascular system very efficient. For the aorta to have this pressure buffer role, it has to be very healthy. It has to have lots of elastic fibers that are not broken, that are, you know, well organized. The wall cannot have any fibrosis and other things. So it has to be a healthy structural aorta. And we know that when it comes to men and women, women, we tend to enjoy healthy sex hormones throughout the majority of our reproductive life. And these sex hormones that women have, they help keep the aorta healthy. They help the elastic fibers, intact, and the aorta healthy, compliant, doing a great job of buffering pressure. Then around age 50 or 55 or so, which coincidentally or not, that's the average age of menopause for most women, then the tables turn. So what happens at that time is that the aging of the cardiovascular system, specifically the arteries in women, start to occur a lot faster than compared to men. So the arteries, the aorta of women becomes less and less efficient compared to similar age men in buffering pulsatile pressure. So then a lot of cardiovascular illnesses then start to occur after that age. So for example, after the age of 50, 55 or so, women have higher incidence and prevalence of hypertension compared to men, specifically isolated systolic hypertension. And then many of the diseases that actually arise from having hypertension start to be more common in women, such as strokes, vascular cognitive impairment, heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. So we see that we are protected for a number of years, but after menopause, whether it's a direct hormonal effect or not, we don't know, it may be, then this vascular aging becomes faster and it's more deleterious in women than men.
Thank you for this excellent explanation. Mm-hmm. As a member of Canadian Women's Heart Health Summit since 2016, and knowing that women are underrepresented in cardiovascular research as patients and science, what do you consider as current and future advancements in the journey to equity for women's heart health?
It's a great question, and there are different aspects to it, and I think many things need to be done to really get equitable knowledge and equitable care for cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular health in women. So one of it has to do with awareness about cardiovascular disease in women. So the reality is that the far majority of women out there, if you ask them, what do you perceive to be the biggest threat to your life, the biggest threat to your health? The majority of women will answer breast cancer. And in many ways, you know, throughout the population, men or women, the majority of individuals tend to equate women's health with gynecological health or breast health, which is, of course, incredibly important. But what most people don't know is if you look worldwide, the number one cause for death in women is cardiovascular disease. It kills 4 times more women than breast cancer, for example. And many women don't know that. So what I always say is that if women don't even know that they are at risk, they may not be engaging in the risk factor control, the healthy lifestyle habits, et cetera, that we know can prevent those outcomes. Differently than so many other kinds of diseases that we have in medicine, the cardiovascular diseases can be prevented 80% of the time. So it's very important for the population to understand that this is the number one cause of death in women. We can prevent it 80% of the time. So let's understand our risk factors, engage in optimizing them and preventing these diseases. So awareness needs to improve. The second aspect of this is education of healthcare providers. So I went to medical school for 6 years. I did internal medicine residency for 3 years. My cardiovascular fellowship as a whole was 5 years. And at no given point in time was I given a specific curriculum about the unique aspects of cardiovascular pathophysiology, cardiovascular manifestations, or even unique cardiovascular diseases to women. It was never delivered to me. I only became aware of it because I sought myself the knowledge, right? I took electives in the Women's Heart Health Clinic at the Mayo Clinic. I started reading independently, but the majority of people don't do that. So a lot of physicians, nurses, physical therapists, healthcare providers in general, they're graduating with no knowledge of these very important and different aspects of cardiovascular health in women. We study what's in the book. The books were written with data that included mostly men. So, you know, when we go into clinical practice and we see a woman with a presentation that is not exactly like it was in the book, our initial impression is to think, okay, maybe that isn't that disease because that's not how it was described. And we understand that, you know, women can have different manifestations, even different diseases. So education of providers is the second thing we need to achieve to really conquer cardiovascular health. And the last piece is the research piece. 2/3 of all cardiovascular clinical research to this day in history have focused on men, either have not included women or not evaluated results in women separately. So the knowledge base that we have for cardiovascular disease in women is still lags behind the knowledge base that we have for men. So this is definitely changing. It's definitely improving. If you look now, so many journals are requesting the authors to look at sex-based data, if not even gender-based data, in their results. The funding agencies in this country and others asking all of the applicants to grants to explain how they plan to take sex and gender into consideration in their research. So this is definitely the right movement. but it still needs to be implemented to a greater level. So all of these three components need to be improved and in place for us to really be able to say that we can recognize, prevent, and treat cardiovascular disease in women just as well as we can do in men.
Yeah, thank you for elucidating this important point. Mm-hmm. Our last question today, Dr. Coutinho, considering your international background and your personal experience, in the month of International Women's Day, do you have any advice for women scientists who are just starting their careers?
Yes. So my advice to young female scientists or people who are contemplating a career in science is, you know, when you look at the field, just don't be afraid of it, because what you're going to see is that there's a lot of men in science, especially when it comes to the cardiovascular science. This is definitely a male-dominated field. And I would say, you know, I have actually had mostly, if not all, male mentors who have been wonderful. But there are many women that look at the field and they say, wow, there are not many women there. Maybe this is not for me, right? So even if there are not many women in this area, maybe I should do something else. And my advice is just don't do that, because science is an incredible field. I think science has a lot to benefit from the female mind. We have a lot to offer to the field. We think a little bit differently. We approach questions and hypotheses perhaps in a slightly different angle. And I think we have a lot to offer to science. So, you know, don't look at it and be afraid. Don't back off. If this is what you want to do, this is what, you know, what brings you passion and joy, do pursue it. One of the silver linings of this pandemic is that it has made the virtual access to even mentors a little bit easier. So it's easier for you to connect with female mentors in the field, which can actually tell you their experiences and what you can do to reach success as well. So do take advantage of that and don't be afraid. Science needs more women, and we welcome all of you to join us.
Thank you, Dr. Coutinho. This concludes our interview. I would like to thank you, Dr. Coutinho, for the fascinating talk with us regarding cardiovascular research. Thank you to our listeners for checking out this episode, this special episode. Subscribe to our YouTube channel or find us on your favorite podcast app. On behalf of the whole team here at the BITS Research Radio, stay safe and heart health.